Welcome to Happy Hour. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Sean Campbell, Adam Harahawk here at your local alternative Solid State Radio. Glad to have you on board this afternoon. And
what's going on, everybody? Happy Tuesday? Question. Yeah. Yes, Tuesday.
I think Tuesday is what I just said. Yes.
You expect me to listen to it? You're so cute.
Yeah, I've long since learned that that's not a thing that happens.
Yep.
Not on this show. I have a lot of stuff to touch on, though, today. I have a couple quotes from your favorite general manager and mine that we'll get to later this afternoon.
Oh, who could it be?
Oh, I think we both know. But off the jump today, though, the Tigers now find themselves 4 games back in the AL Comedy Central. Last night, Kerry Carpenter comes through with a 3-run bomb in the 7th.
Good.
Over, admittedly, the bottom-feeding Kansas City Royals. But more importantly, the Twins also lost to the Boston Red Sox in what is possibly the only scenario ever under which I will root for the Boston Red Sox.
In that kind of situation, I just root for all their pitchers to go out with strained arms. Maybe one of them has to win 1-0 in the 11th inning. And basically, both teams just have a really rough time.
Well, you'd like to see that happen, but... Mm-hmm. Barring that sort of freak thing happening, the best I can root for is at least the outcome that I particularly need at that point.
Right.
And you're now 4 games back at the AL Comedy Central, and I believe we're now back up to 9 games under 500, and as of right now, every team in this division is sitting below 500. It seems like... You could be within days, though, of being actually in front in this division. Like, you're playing Kansas City, who is trash. The Twins are playing the Red Sox, who are seemingly objectively a better team than they are. And then you go back and play the Twins again this weekend. And I don't know personally that there's much that can be done for me to fully believe in this team by any means, but... It sure seems like you stand a really good chance here of taking your division lead and giving us something in this godforsaken town to actually root for.
It's making it interesting. I mean, are we seeing the Twins on the downslope and the Tigers picking up steam?
That's what I'm going with. That's the assumption I'm operating under.
That's exciting. I mean, do we think that they got an actual push for a World Series?
No.
Probably not, because, I mean, we talked about scenarios that if they're probably... Oh, okay, well, no, I guess we looked at it as if they were at the very last wild card spot. They would go against the Texas Rangers, which... Was that the Rangers? I don't remember. All I know is their outlook wouldn't be so good. If you looked at the Magic out 8-ball,
yeah, they're wild card teams. So good. They're wild card teams that would beat the Tigers, absolutely, yeah. Without a shadow of a doubt.
So, yeah, it's... It is going to be interesting to find out what happens. They're playing a garbage team like the Royals right now, but then they play against... No, they got 3 more against
Minnesota,
and then they take on Texas.
And this is why I think that it's very much doable that you could see this team taking the AL Central by the end of the weekend. At that point, you could go into that series only 2 games back. All you have to do, well, is what you did last weekend, take 3 out of 4. I think you're tied at that point if you split this series, which seems like it should be entirely doable. Like, Minnesota's trash. Like, every team in this division is just comically laughable, really.
Well, you compare them to other divisions, both AL and the NL.
Look at the AL East for just one example. Like, that division is absolutely just... crazy good. Like, even the worst team in that division is still better than probably your best team in this one. That's how how stacked this thing is. And it's rather crazy to me to see that you are in contention while still being this bad, but you were at least in contention to win a pennant right now, and thank God for that, because I don't know if I can go through another summer of just having a Tigers team that's just bad and isn't going anywhere. Like, I am, even beyond my normal Tigers slappy fandom here. Like, I'm rooting for radio, man. If I don't have anything to talk about until Lions training camp, other than a Tigers team that is, like, dead last in its division, I'll be hanging from the rafters, dude. I can't do this anymore.
Somebody cut this program director down. We got a job to do.
Like, we've only, and basically the entire existence of the radio show that you and I do together, we've never had a good team in any sport in this town.
No.
Give me something. Like, all my hopes and dreams are pinned on the Lions right now. Do you know how weird of a thing that is for me, a lifelong fan of sports in this city? Like, I don't even know anymore. Like, where's up and what's down, man? Like, I've been paraded in front, you know, before me a just steady stream of despair for so damn long. I don't even care that it's a total mirage and it'll probably fall off by the time Lions training camp starts. I don't care anymore. Just give me something. That's all I'm asking for.
Yep.
Can you do this much for me, Tigers?
Come on now. Come on.
Can you give me something? Because otherwise it's going to be nothing but serial mascot lists, Saturday Night Live bits, and unsolicited advice for the rest of this summer.
Sounds like we're going to be taking the summer off. It's going to be best of. We get a couple of knuckleheads to fill in for us.
Right? You know damn here, well we don't have the budget for that around here.
Here's Woody and Schwabo heading happy hour.
That actually, you know, the more I think about that, the more that sounds like a pretty good idea, to be honest. We're just off for the summer. Like, he'll see you at 6 o'clock for sessions, but that's it.
Yeah.
I don't hate this idea, Adam. I really, really don't.
No, not at all.
Oh, there is much yet to do this afternoon. I've got some quotes from your boy Stevie Y coming up.
Woo-hoo.
It is happy hour. It's Solid State Radio. I don't even know or care what song's up next.
Let's talk them off the ledge after this.
Yeah, here's the best. It's watching the credits. Your local alternative is Solid State Radio. So, the captain, Stevie Yzerman, he talked to the media today.
I love how you put respect on that name.
You have to.
Yeah, the captain.
And I have a feeling there's a lot of Wings fans out there that are not going to be particularly happy with the comments that he had this afternoon.
Really?
Certainly there's going to be the section of the fan base that is ready to start contending is not going to like what they're going to hear. I mean, I know obviously in this town, no one's going to dare question Yzerman or anything he does, but there are definitely some things I have a feeling are going to leave a lot of people less than excited. Notably, he's planning on staying right where his team is slated to draft in the first round and the second round.
That's,
so he says.
I'm fine with that. That one I'm fine with because I pretty much considered that 17th pick to be gone. I thought he was going to trade that away, and that still might happen on next Wednesday when the NHL draft airs on, I believe, the Reels Network or Better Homes and Garden Network or something like that.
Something like that.
But we've also have seen him be very Scrooge-like when it comes to draft picks. He doesn't like to trade away draft picks at all.
No, he does not.
And he's got two in the first round. They draft well. This team drafts really, really well, especially under Steve Yzerman. So I'm fine with that.
I don't know how much I believe it. I really don't.
You think he's kind of sending us a red herring?
I think there may be a little bit of misdirection going on. Like, I operate under the principle of when it comes to a week before the draft or a month out from the draft, you don't believe anything that comes out of a GM's mouth, ever.
This is true. I mean, a really sweet deal could come across his desk.
And he'll bite on it.
Might.
I think he absolutely would if the right deal comes along. I don't take a lot from, and I know it's, and I'm not even just sitting up here just to defend Yzerman and his honor and what have you, but I truly don't believe anything that comes out of a general manager's mouth at this time of the year. And Yzerman, he's a guy who plays his cards close to the vest anyway. As you'll remember, any trade that has been rumored about with him, most of those don't happen, and the ones that do, we don't find out until like 30 seconds before it actually happens.
I would not want to play poker with the guy.
I would not either. That guy is just so good at keeping his cards as close to the vest as possible that I don't believe, like, right now I'm kind of expecting that the night of we're going to see some trades.
I definitely think so. But every time I hear something, some sort of popping off about Alex DeBrincat coming over for Detroit, I get excited.
I do too.
But I also trust the wiser plan, is how Darren put it, Mac. So, like you said, some people are really going to not like what he says. Some people want to contend now. We want Yzerman to take the podium. It's like, all right, you guys have been patient. It's been a couple years. It's been 10 years since we've been in the playoffs. Let's put the pedal to the metal. But he's also a realist. And I believe there's a lot of people out there because I've seen them, that are getting impatient. Some of them have downright given up on him. And those people are fools.
Yeah, I hear a lot of people already starting to kind of give up on Yzerman. And like I said, I'm not here to be the slappy for this guy. Like, I'm not the go out and defend the management at all costs guy. I'm usually the guy that's calling for management to be fired in most instances. But in this case, I do believe that there is more at play here. I mean, for one, we know his track record.
Yeah,
we know what he built up in Tampa Bay, and those weren't necessarily guys who were household names before he acquired them. Like, they found a lot of diamonds in the rough in those drafts.
Correct. He found diamonds in the rough in Red Wings draft. Mo Sider, Calder Trophy winner.
Right. Like, he's not necessarily like the guy who's going to go out and make the big splashy signings right away. But you look at that Tampa Bay team. How many of those guys were homegrown cats? Like,
right.
So
he said from the beginning he wanted to build through the draft. The fact that we were able to get some of these free agents, Nick Leddy, which, I mean, but it turned out into another first-round pick for us. Second round? I don't know. Then there was the Verana, which when it was working. But we've also seen when it's not working, Yzerman will ship them off and get beautiful returns in the stead. So I don't know why people are really saying, you know, he's not doing a good job.
Because it's been a decade and people aren't used to this with this team.
They aren't. I remember how spoiled people were. Where I'd be excited. You'd be like 2011, 2012. I'm like, oh, the Wings did this. It's like, they're like, oh. I'd be talking to people at the bar. I'm like, I don't even watch until the playoffs. I'm like, you're such an asshole.
It did seem like there was a lot of a large section of the fan base that was that way. People wouldn't show up to games until the playoffs. Like, it does happen after 25 years of just going on a run like that, admittedly. I get it.
Yep.
But still, like, I do ultimately think, and I think, like I said, he might flip one of those picks come the day of the deadline, the draft, rather.
Well, he's got two in the first, three in the second.
So, I think the three are all in a row, too, which is really weird.
Yeah. 41, 42, and 43.
Gotta love that.
Yeah. Absolutely. I don't know. If he flips the pick, I'd be okay with it because from what I'm hearing, it's really not that deep of a draft. You've got Adam Fratelli, if I'm saying his name correctly. You got Connor Bedard. Fantilli lays with it. So you got one and two figured out. Everything else is a bunch of who are these guys?
Oh, Leo Carlson seems to be another high. Blue chip prospect up there in this draft too.
Yeah, but he's not going to drop down to ninth. Wouldn't
that be awesome if he did?
Everybody just gives up on Connor Bedard. Just decides to like smack waitresses on the ass,
right?
And Eisenman's like, it's probably good to ask. Pick him up. No, that's not going to happen. He's going to Chicago.
Yeah, there's no way he's not. We all kind of know that. Yeah. Admittedly, it'll be interesting. Ultimately, to see that like he'll find something, some steal at number 9. I wouldn't be surprised if 17's traded, though. One of those two will be traded for, I don't know for what, if it'll be a player or it'll be to move up, but someone's getting, one of those picks won't be there come that the draft
day. That's what I thought. I honestly, but I mean, if we're taking Steve Yzerman's words at face value,
and I'm not.
And again, like we said, you know, he plays things close to the chest. I firmly believe that 17th pick is going to move. It's going to be, it might turn into a third rounder and then a player that somebody needs to get rid of for cap space, maybe.
Or someone's in cap hell, like Toronto or.
Like a Connor, what was a.
You were going to say Connor McDavid, weren't you?
Yeah, no. This is an EA Sports NHL game, stupid. Connor Hellebuck.
That'd be interesting.
But I believe he's a free agent this year, so I don't know. If he, I can't remember if he is got 1 year left or what. I mean, Wings have so much cap space.
And that's the other interesting thing to kind of, to your point there.
Sure.
He's also talking about not going after guys who aren't going to be here long term. Like, this isn't the point where you're making, like, those veteran signings or guys who are, like, towards the end of their contracts or whatever. Like, he wants guys that are in their prime and are going to be here for a while.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he has those guys because he's done exactly what he told us he was going to do. We have Raymond. We have Sider. Both of those guys in their second and third year, respectively. Well, actually, they're both in their third years, aren't they?
Yeah. And this is Hellebuck's last year. This is coming up.
Okay. And you've got Marco Kasper. You know he's going to crack the lineup. Simon Edvinson, he's going to be making a push for it. You've got Soderblom. I mean, you got a good young core. And then, I mean, they do need a goaltender. Ville Husso did exactly what you asked him to do, but he needs something, somebody to back him up. And it's basically just a stopgap until it becomes a Sebastian Cosa show.
One can only hope.
Because, I mean, they talked about, I read an article where they were talking about goaltending. I mean, you got Sebastian Cosa, who has been lights out in the ECHL mm-hmm. and has done quite well in the AHL. I know, and I know, stop yelling at your radio. That's different from the NHL. I get it. But he's holding his own to where it's looking like he's going to be the number one guy. But you can't count on just him. You got to have more. You draft goaltenders, get some goaltenders, you know. To help out, because Nedeljkovic, he's as good as gone. I mean, he's as good as gone. And nobody else has really stepped up and be like, okay, he is the goaltender of the future.
I'm not sure that Ned's entirely gone yet.
I think he had such a rough second half of the season that it just soured everybody on him. And I was a Nedeljkovic fan, but I think it's just...
I'm also not writing a book on a guy after one season.
Yeah, well, that was his second season with the Wings, was it not?
Yeah, his first season, he was pretty damn good, as you'll remember.
Yeah.
Like,
his old mind starts to wander every once in a while.
Like, he had a killer first year here. Like, he was up for
the Calder Trophy, I remember.
So I don't think, I've never been a fan of the idea of writing the book on somebody after one season or a half a season or whatever it was. Like, I don't think it's... I think it's a little premature to say that, oh, Ned's done. He's washed. He's never going to be an effective NHL goalie again.
No, I didn't say that. I just don't think he's right for this team. Like, because Nedeljkovic did very well for Carolina.
Yes, he did.
You put him on a better team, he can excel. He doesn't. You have to
give him better defense.
Better defense. He doesn't need to be... standing on his head every game. And with the Red Wings, as young as they are, I'm not going to say bad, I'm going to say young, it was too much pressure on him. I don't dislike Nedeljkovic. I just don't think he's a good fit for the Detroit Red Wings.
I can see how that's entirely fair point. And thing is, though, like you said, it's going to be Casa eventually, hopefully, at least that's the plan. So, I mean, it's really whoever's here is just a stopgap until that happens.
Yeah. I mean,
either no one's going to be, none of these guys are going to be here probably by the time we're actually contending in the playoffs.
Which guys are you talking about?
Husso and Ned.
Oh, you know, yeah. Yeah, those guys. If we're talking about goaltending, Yzerman's got to be looking at some goaltending. It's going to be the Cosa show and just to have to decide who his, our Garlfrunkel is going to be.
That's certainly a way of putting it.
Or is John Oates, whichever you prefer. Or is Andrew Richley. There you go, Wes. I hear you yawn.
Oh, I'm sure. Here's 30 Seconds of Mars, your local alternative to Solid State Radio. Greta Van Fleet at your local alternative Solid State Radio. What's going on? It is happy hour. He's Adam Hairhock. I'm Sean Cantwell. That's Evan Williams.
Hi, everybody. I'm just here to get everybody feeling good. My job is done here. Evan Williams away.
Greta Van Fleet, they're coming out. Was that September 8th or 9th or something? I want to go.
Then go.
I can't afford to go. Can't go the 9th because we've got a birthday bash such thing going on. But
oh, yeah. We should get on that, huh?
Yeah, we should. I guess we probably should. Yeah. So are we done talking about the Red Wings, or can I sneak something in?
You can probably sneak something else in. What else do we really have to do?
Well, small little news and notes. Chris Osgood is nominated for the Hockey Hall of Fame.
You were about to say Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I was. Put him in there, too. It's been so goddamn long. Put him in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, too.
I'd be more fine with that than the Hockey Hall of Fame.
Oh, shut up. The class of 2023 has been announced. Corey Crawford, he's eligible his first year.
He's not getting in.
Two-time Stanley Cup champion with the Blackhawks. Regular season, let me see. First and save percentage of .918 and second in goals against average, .245 among goalies who appeared at least 100 games. He's also the first in Blackhawks history in Stanley Cup playoff wins and save percentage.
Okay, like looking at the numbers, I can't really deny it.
No. Henrik Lundqvist.
Like he had one hell of a decade.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. A lot of people are thinking, oh, well, he was part of that 2010. No, that was Antti Niemi. People forget about that.
Well, he was there, and he played a significant number. '09. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah,
he was gone.
Yeah, he only played one game that season.
He was donezo. He got traded after the winning that first Stanley Cup. But, yeah, Corey Crawford is eligible. Henrik Lundqvist, King Henry, is eligible now. And even though he doesn't have a Stanley Cup, which a lot of people want to put that marker on somebody if they're Hall of Fame, that notwithstanding, Henrik Lundqvist is getting in. If not this year, soon. Very soon.
Yeah, he had a stretch, really, where he was, you know, undoubtedly one of the best ever to do it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the guy is, arguably the closest to being a lock among the first year eligible candidates.
He's got a Vezina to his name. He's got a couple All-Stars to his name.
Yep.
And he had some really nice playoff runs, like, The Rangers not getting further than it is not necessarily his fault by any means.
Rangers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I said Rangers, right?
You said Raiders.
Did I say Raiders? Jesus yeah. Christ.
I mean, he did win an Olympic gold, which we have to forget. This is not the NHL Hockey Hall of Fame. This is the Hockey Hall of Fame. So they consider international play as well, which that is one thing that Chris Osgood does not have. And, I mean, he's been eligible since 2014. It's just good to see him nominated, but, I mean, I would like to see him before we get to his stats, another former Red Wing, at least for a cup of coffee, Curtis Joseph.
Oh, Cujo.
Has more wins than Hall of Fame goalies Terry Sawchuk. Well, yeah, of course, because he's playing like 78 games a season as opposed to Terry Sawchuk, who, you know, was 20. Jacques Plante, Tony Esposito, Glenn Hall, Grant Fuhr, and Dominic Hasek. They each won the Stanley Cup at least once. Joseph never won a Stanley Cup. He never even won a Vezina, but was a finalist three times in 93, 99, and 2000.
I mean, he had some really good years with not necessarily some of the greatest teams. There was a couple of years where he led in save attempts and saves, but still had like over a 3 ERA with St. Louis.
Yeah.
Or ERA, goals against. Good Lord. I probably don't even know what sport we're talking about, Adam. I'm just going home.
Hey, he didn't score one touchdown that year. He sucks. I forgot he was with St. Louis, quite frankly.
He spent his first 6 years there, and he never had... Well, it wasn't until his last season that his goals against went below 3.
Jeez. Then we talk about Ozzie. Chris Osgood. Three-time Stanley Cup champion with the Wings, 97, 98, 2008, and he went to the finals in 2009. Led the Red Wings to losing in 7 games to the Pittsburgh Penguins. He is 13th in league history in regular season wins and 9th in playoff wins in 74. He's in. He's got to be in. He doesn't have the international credit, but my God, I mean, the guy, they don't post it here, but he was also the winner of the Williams-Jennings Trophy. He shared that with
twice.
Mike Vernon. Was it twice?
Yeah, he got it twice.
Okay. And everybody's going to be like, Well, look at the teams he had in front of him. Yeah, well.
But to be fair, the teams he had in front of him were pretty damn stacked. Dude.
Yeah, but he also had some teams that weren't so stacked, and he still made it to the playoffs with them. Playoffs? I mean, you're telling me that Grant Fuhr was that great of a goaltender? What team did he have in front of him? Oh, I know. Wayne Gretzky. That's who he had.
And that team won, well, he won how many cups? Four with them?
Yeah, four. He was with them for all four, yeah. So, I mean, there's that. I mean, it's a very thick nominations this year. They even got Boris Mikhailov. I believe he was the cap. Yeah, he was a captain for the Soviet Red Team when they played against the Team USA in the 1980 Olympics. I don't know if I've ever talked about those Olympics. I'll have to remedy that.
Yeah, I don't think you've ever brought that up on the show.
Sergei Gonchar. He's been eligible since 2018, and they've been snubbing him. I don't know why. Because, I mean, a lot of times in the 90s, when you talked about a hot defenseman, you had Lidstrom, you had Gonchar, you had, also had a, oh God, number 44 for St. Louis, went to St. Louis, Anaheim, won a cup. God damn it. I can't remember his name. Patrick Elias and there. Chris Pronger. Thank you. Thank you for all the people hanging out in the studio. Patrick Elias was in there. Also, a lot of from female women hockey, Megan Duggan, that name rings a bell. Karen by Dietz. Rod Brendamore won a cup with Carolina in 2006.
I would be surprised if he didn't make it in. I mean, I don't know necessarily this year, but I feel like he will.
A lot of people like Rod Brendamore. Now, he is. Is he the one that's front office for
Carolina? Yes, he is.
Carolina? I was thinking Seattle. Who's a cat from Seattle? It was another Carolina guy. I can't remember. Won the Stanley Cup with the Hurricanes. Now the Hurricanes. And Jack Adams, award winner as the league's coach in the year 2021. He finished his NHL career with 1,184 points. 452 of those were goals. He won the Selke Trophy in 2006 and 2007. That is consecutive, boys and girls.
Yes, yes, it is.
Reggie Leach. Why is he not already in there? You're going to have to talk. He's been eligible since 1987, so. I'm just scrolling around. Alexander McGillney.
How is he not in yet? There's one where that dude absolutely should be in.
I would. The only thing I could look, because I'm looking at his stats. I mean, he won the Stanley Cup in New Jersey in 2000. Gold medal in the Olympics with the Soviet Union.
Yeah, His argument, though, the case for this guy is not necessarily about the stats as such as it is, you know, well, first off, the international stuff, and also him being one of the first, hell, the first Russian to defect to North America.
I thought that was Paul Stastny.
No, Alexander McGillney was the first.
Okay.
The first Russian.
Well, he's a trendsetter just on that alone. Put him in.
Like, for that alone should get him in. And then the fact that he was actually quite good here should also, I mean, he does also have Olympic gold. He's got world junior and senior championships and a Stanley Cup.
Yep.
Fourth in all-time points for a Russian, third in all-time goals.
Why is he not? You know what?
There's no reason he shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame already.
You think? No, you wouldn't think that right now the Hockey Hall of Fame would have a problem against Russians, would you?
Well, he's been eligible for a while and hasn't gotten in, though.
I know. I that's what I'm wondering. I mean, it's not like there's no Russians in the Hockey Hall of Fame. See Sergei Fedorov. But, I mean...
Clearly.
I don't know. Jeremy Roenick. He's been eligible since 2012. He is eligible. He has been nominated.
I don't think he's getting in.
I don't think so either, because he's never won a Stanley Cup or a major award.
I feel like there's enough people who don't like him for his mouth outside of and the things
he's a great personality.
Does.
He was a great personality.
He
as a player.
Is, but I feel like there's enough of that like, oh, he's too controversial for the Hockey Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and quite take that out of the equation. He really doesn't have anything else going for him. He has the second most points and fourth most goals against eligible players not in the Hall of Fame. Roenick never won the Stanley Cup or a major NHL award. He's never won a gold medal. He won a silver medal in Salt Lake City and the 1991 Canadian Cup, Canada Cup, excuse me. But, yeah, it never happened. Keith Tkachuk, he has been eligible since 2013. Another guy I don't really see happen.
I don't think that will happen. I don't think Mike Vernon's getting in either.
Is he nominated too?
He is.
Oh, my God. Pierre Turgeon.
Don't see it.
I don't see it. Henrik Zetterberg.
Personally, I'd like to see it, but I don't think
he
will.
He's in. Everybody loves.
Not in the first year, anyway.
He will get in. Henrik Zetterberg, he's been eligible since 2022. Way back in 2022. Conn Smythe Trophy winner, Stanley Cup, gold medal. Led the Detroit Red Wings to the Stanley Cup championships twice. No. Was he part of... Yeah, he was part of the... Oh, my God. Oh, my... Yeah, of course, he was in 2009. What am I thinking?
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's part of the IIHF's Triple Gold Club. Stanley Cup, Olympic Gold, and World Championship Gold. So...
You know who else is all of those things? McGillney, who should be in.
Yeah, put them both in. So, yeah, I mean, definitely. Is Datsuk in?
Is he in? I don't think so. Did that somehow get by both of us that he would have got in and we wouldn't know about
that
it?
That 2000 team, I know they're all getting in eventually, but just who is official?
Yeah, he's not yet.
He's not in?
Nope.
Really? And he's not even nominated? Somebody dropped the ball on that one.
Well, remember, I think he has to be retired for such a length of time. And while
that's right. Well, wait a minute.
Technically, he hasn't played since 2016, but that contract was still on the books forever for Arizona, and I think he's also still actively playing overseas.
Okay. All right, that makes sense.
It's the same.
I don't know what Russian is for what do I got to do, but then another one. I
mean, same reason that, you know, Yager's not in yet, because he's still playing somewhere.
I can't stop playing. The team needs me to play to make money. Justin Williams, I forgot to mention him. I glossed over him, but...
I don't think he gets in.
Affectionately known as Mr. Game 7, clutch player in the NHL in the past quarter century, most of his damage in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Win the Stanley Cup three times with the Carolina Hurricanes and Los Angeles Kings in 2012 and 2014. Conn Smythe Trophy winner as the most valuable player in the playoffs. He definitely gets in. Absolutely. Now, again, I mean, no, not really any international play to speak of, but I think he's in. Justin Williams is definitely. And that, maybe not this year, because I don't know how many they can. I think they can, like, vote in seven. So I even think my go-to is going to be Chris Osgood. But I don't think he's going to get in.
He's not getting in.
There's a lot of women who are nominated who, you know, they're going to make sure they get one of those in so they don't look as, like, tone deaf or whatever.
And I can't speak so much as to those. Like, I just don't follow them as much. So I'm not going to sit here and speculate on who among them is getting in.
I mean, there's a couple you really can make an argument for. Carolyn Ouellette, four Olympic gold medals. I mean... 2002 Salt Lake City, 2006 Torino, 2010 Vancouver, and then 2014 Sochi. You could really make a... I mean, so obviously you can't put her in any kind of NHL numbers, obviously, for obvious reasons.
Well, yeah.
But, I mean, she's got the hardware to prove it. I mean, she could really get things taken care of. So, I mean, she's looking good. It was with what was her name? I just glossed over. Hell with it. I can't remember. Oh, Megan Duggan. She's got a lot of gold and silver too. So possibly. I mean, I'm not saying that she's only going to be brought in because she's a woman, but I mean, the NHL knows what's going on. They're going to make sure that they have at least one of the women on there.
Make it in. I would say so. If I have to call it, McGillney's getting in.
Okay.
McGillney's absolutely getting in.
Totally agree.
Lundqvist is getting in.
Totally agree.
I would say Mr. Game 7 probably gets in.
I agree. Zetterberg gets in.
I think he has to wait a year or two.
They love him some Zetterberg.
Zetterberg.
They love Zetterberg. The International Hockey Hall of Fame, IIHF, They inducted him. He's now nominated for a Michigan Hall of Fame. I mean, it's a done deal. Zetterberg is going in.
We'll see. I definitely think Cujo gets in too. I think there's a very good chance that Cujo gets in.
I don't think so, unfortunately. And I'm a Cujo fan. I was happy to see him come in Detroit and try to fill the shoes of Dominic Kashuk after he bolted and then had to come back because he got in trouble.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. And then now you got two $8 million goalies sitting in your locker room with Manny Legacy playing all the games.
I know.
Oh, God. I would love to pull Manny Legacy aside. And now he's probably got the time since he got canned by Babcock over in Columbus. But I would love to pull him aside. It's like, how was the tension in that room?
Right. But no, McGillney gets in. Lundqvist gets in. I think Justin Williams gets in. I think Gonchar could get in.
Sergei Gonchar should have been already.
I would agree. I would absolutely agree.
I mean, his work with Dallas, wasn't he with the Habs? I think it was Habs, I think.
Was he with the Habs?
Buffalo? Question.
He bounced around quite a bit, it seemed like.
But he made a difference wherever he
was. No, yeah, he was always a great player wherever whatever team he was with. Yeah, so you start with the Caps, the long stretch with the Caps, the Penguins, half a season with the Bruins, which I completely forgot about, the Senators, Dallas, and yeah, his last
Senators?
Half season. His last half season was split between the Stars and the Habs.
Gotcha. Okay. He won a cup with Dallas in 99, correct?
Right.
Okay. That's what I thought. Yeah, he's definitely in.
I would think it's a no-doubter. But, you know, when it comes to these things, what we think is a no-doubter is not
necessarily. Put Darren McCarty in the Hall of Fame. Come on. Four-time Stanley Cup champion.
Would I personally do it? Sure. But you know Dan Law's not going to go. That's not going to fly with the rest of the league.
I want to see that acceptance speech.
You know it would be the greatest speech in the history.
It would be the greatest speech of all time.
I think there's one guy who could probably top it, though, if he ever gets in, which I feel like he'll have to win another cup to make it happen.
Who?
Torts.
It'd be, hey, thank you for this honor, and then just bring out a scroll.
The following members of the media can kiss my ass.
Torts, you were just inducted to the Hockey Hall of Fame. How do you feel? How do you think I feel? You're a stupid question. Go away. What a dick.
It's happy hour at Solid State Radio. Stick around. Dish Wallet, your local alternative Solid State Radio. What's going on? It's happy hour. He's Adam Harahawk. I'm Sean Cantwell.
So we have talked about people... The elderly, okay?
We've definitely talked about people.
The elderly and their problems with technology. And here is a perfect example that some of our senior citizens. I'm not going to say that. I don't know how old this woman is, but needs to be pulled aside and given free classes on how to use the internet because this woman, Mary Johnston, inexplicably became the 87th best tourist attraction in Glasgow.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm not going to ask how she managed to do that, Adam.
Well, that's okay, because I'm going to tell you. It says, Mary Johnston is ready for reviews. Have you been to Mary Johnston? Share your experience. Among the sites in Glasgow that Mary is ranked above are the 12,000 capacity arena, the Hydro, and the Templeton's Carpet Factory. It appears that the reviews that catapulted Miss Johnston to a small manner of internet fame have been deleted, but some exist for posterity on Twitter. She had asked TripAdvisor to rectify the apparent glitch. I didn't set it up. It must be a bug in the system or it is malicious. I'm already a user and I went on recently to review somewhere in Amsterdam, so it may have happened then. She probably logged herself in as a location.
Oh.
And it hit send. I'm already a user. I went on recently to review something in Amsterdam, so it may have happened then. I've been reading forums, and apparently you have to bend over backwards to set up an account as an attraction.
Well,
she says, at least it is a good picture of me. Now, someone tells me she really screwed up, and are you a location and stuff like that? Yes, I am. And then people are leaving reviews, including like some of her ex-boyfriends and husbands and stuff like that. Yeah, I've been to Mary Johnston. Pretty dry in the summertime, if you know what I'm saying.
1 out of 5 stars, would not recommend.
definitely would not visit every 28 days, if you know what I'm saying. Don't try the food. Trust me on that one, guys.
Everything just comes out burnt.
She
can't. Someone could burn a pot of water.
Yeah, she can't cook for nothing. Oh, here is. Oh, geez. Here is, I believe this is a review. Best Mary in Glasgow. If you visit just one Mary on your trip to Glasgow, make sure it's Mary. With her astounding merriness and stunning Dalicity, Mary Dal is the highlight of any trip to this beautiful Scottish city. I've traveled fairly extensively in the UK, and I've met many a Mary, but none so merry like Mary Dal. The only criticism I could make is that Mary Dal is generally only viewable to the public 9 until 5, usually being packed away for the night. This is a real shame, as I can only imagine the sight of Mary Dal by moonlight must be breathtaking. Take it from this Mary Dal fan, folks. Once you've gone Mary Dal, you're never going Barry Dal. Yeah. That's awesome.
That's pretty fantastic. So is this older lady, younger lady? Like, because they said something about a picture. It was a nice picture of her.
Let me see if I can bring up a picture here. Here is a picture.
Okay.
I'm not going to say she's in her 80s, but...
No, she's, I'd say, like, mid-late 50s?
Late 50s, early 60s. Yeah, absolutely. I'd visit her.
You probably would have.
I'd give her 4 or 5 stars. Hell yeah.
You're a solid 4.5 stars. Yeah, stars. That's what we're going with here.
So use it as a cautionary tale, people. Be careful when you're on Yelp and everything else, because you might put yourself as an attraction.
You might be the Yelp reviewer that starts getting Yelp reviewed. Just blur it, Solid State Radio. The Foo, your local alternative Solid State Radio. What's going on? It is happy hour. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell.
What's going on, everybody?
What type of human behavior will you never understand?
Washing your hands after using the bathroom. I'm kidding.
He's not kidding, folks.
It's not like I pissed on it.
Yeah, but I know where that thing's been. And no, don't... You know, he always wants to shake my hand afterwards, which is really weird. Yeah.
Then Sean relegated to a fist bump, then it was an elbow bump, and then it's basically just the finger bangs. Hey, finger guns.
Exactly.
There you go, Tiger.
The finger bangs.
Finger guns, sorry. Yeah, Sean just prefers it when I finger bang him. He said, I might as well lean into this one.
Yeah, well... I ain't leaning to any of that, but...
I meant finger guns. We have finger bangs. That's
sure.
That's funnier, though.
That's much funnier, but you had a... You did throw a real example out there when I...
Yeah. Instantly, knee-jerk reaction was people who insist on backing into parking spaces. And I'm talking to you people with lifted trucks, because you seem to be the biggest... Offenders of this. And... You won't tell me why. I mean, I've asked people, why do you back in? It's easier to pull out.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, but I had my door caved in a Walmart because some jackanape was trying to back into a parking spot. And it's just, why? Why do you have to do that? Can't you just, like, do what I do and find, like, the parking space here and the parking space in front of it,
so,
and
just drive through?
Yeah. There you go.
That's not always an option, though. Like, depending on where you're at and what time of day you're going, like, there's not always a spot to pull through to.
Well, where are you? I mean, I'm talking about, like, your big box stores. There's always a place to park.
Well, not if you want to park on the back 40.
Yeah. Hey, I'm young enough. I can walk. Well, so not today. But
clearly not. Like, you're currently in a boot.
Go grab me an Amigo, baby.
Have you been doing that since you've been?
Amigo? No. And I have nothing against the Amigo, because they're awesome, especially since a store that I work at upgraded all their Amigos.
Are they faster now?
No, they're hydraulics.
Oh, it's like a lowrider Amigo. Nice.
Nice speakers in the background. I mean, the speakers are cool, but and like every 30 seconds is like a Meyer ad, but no. bubbles out the back. No, but they it is nice.
But you're not an Amigo guy, though?
I
No, just because the other day we went to the store and I grabbed my crutches and everything else, and crutches suck. Nobody ever has ever been like, yay, I get to be on crutches. Crutches suck.
Well, yeah, no one wants to be on crutches. It's like extra, it's just an extra pain in the ass, really.
It is. It is. And then you realize that, yeah, you got those crutches right into your armpit. And even though you wear deodorant, you either smell deodorant or you smell tacos. And you know exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That cloth is like right into your armpit. And it's not something I'm used to. I don't like it. But... You know, it is what.
But
it
you'd
is.
Rather do that than just getting the Amigo.
You know what? I probably should have the other day because
sounds a lot less pain in the ass than hobbling around your store on crutches.
When I had a effed up knee, I got an Amigo one time when we were still open on third shift, and I drive by. The funnest part was trying to drive by and snatch a product off the shelf as I was driving. It's like a drive by. Yoink.
Nice. You I'm trying to do Tokyo Drift at the store.
There is one person that shows up with her own little rascal scooter, and she must have had this thing modded because...
She took the governor right out of it.
Her hair is just blowing. She's scooting right down the aisles. Headlight on, horn honking. Ah, get out of my way. This bitch gonna run us all over.
Honestly, I would too. Yeah. Like, I don't blame you.
I fear you, and I want to be you, ma'am.
Right? I'm scared and also rather envious. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah. So, there was one guy. How you doing?
Yeah.
He had one of those rascals. He had like monster truck tires on there. And he had it was a big old silver thing. And he was a greeter at another big box store. And
okay.
He didn't do his job. Didn't greet anybody. He was just there collecting a paycheck. Then he'd come to our store and just be a complete a-hole. I wanted to like... If he came on a third shift, if I knew he was coming, I'd purposely put things in his spot, in his way.
Oh my God!
I'll put a Denver boot on that thing, you little bastard!
Right. Slap a little parking boot on the damn thing. Yeah. So you're gonna come tearing through with your monster truck tires like you're the grave digger of the rascal set.
Yeah. I've got two favorite, and I know we went on a tangent, folks. I apologize. I have two favorite. Amigo stories.
Mm.
One was this guy, he had a real problem on third shift with our waxing people. He always had a problem with Jack, who ran the crew who waxed the floors. Wherever he was, they were waxing, he needed down there. Well, they were waxing down the liquor aisle.
Oh.
This was 3 a.m. Now, Sean, explain why this is a problem.
Because I'm not sure if any of our listeners are aware of this, but the state of Michigan doesn't allow liquor sales after 2.
Exactly. But he had to get down there. I'm a customer. So he lifted the ropes, ran his Amigo right down the middle, and then the Amigo died. died. And, hey, this Amigo died. I was like, I can't get on the wax. What do you want me to do? And Jack is off the side laughing, because, I mean, this guy finally got his comeuppance. I mean, but then the last one was a very good friend of mine. His mom came down before she passed, and she had, like, kind of lost the ability to talk, but she was still a feisty bitch. So she was, like, cruising down there, and I did my best Buford T. Justice impression. Hey, we got speed limits here in this town. And she gave me the finger and drove off. Smiled, gave me the finger and drove off. I think that was great.
Oh, that's awesome. That is so cool. There was one time my buddy actually was like using one of those because like he had jacked his foot up somehow. It was all swollen and stuff. And one of your old managers did not was not buying his story.
I know
all.
Exactly who you're talking about, yeah.
And he may have tried to run over said manager with the Amigo.
With an Amigo?
Yeah.
He would have bumped into him and gave him a slight bruise.
Right. Yeah, we were asked to leave the store after that one.
I mean, well, and that sucks because that guy was probably legitimately had to have it, but there's also some kids out there that...
Like, we would have been like... around 21 or so at this time. Yeah. So,
but at that time, we had a lot, well, all the time, we always have some kids out there that claim they need it, and then they're just jerking off. Can I say, no, I can't say that. They're basically just screwing around.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, my manager who took his responsibilities a little too
seriously.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. It was crazy. He used to go into the camera area to eat his lunch.
Yeah.
And like spy on us, stalking and stuff like that. And because and the camera's like really loud, so you like walk by like. I got a marker, a big thing of cardboard. I says, "Hi, his name."
Yeah.
Hi, Tim. and the camera goes like it was waving. Nice. Jesus.
Oh, I don't even remember.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about what things people do that annoy you or.
Yeah, this may just be a continuing series.
All right.
We'll just get on this tomorrow because that.
Yeah. To be continued. Dun, dun, dun.
It's happy hour. Well,
how are the Duke boys going to get themselves out of this one? We'll see you next week.
It's happy hour. Your local alternative Solid State Radio. Stick around. Happy hour at Solid State Radio. He's Adam Herhock. I'm Sean Cantwell. As we get set to get the hell out of Dodge
no,
here.
No, I want to do more radio. More radio.
Fine. You can do more radio. In fact, you can do a whole other hour of radio.
Oh, okay.
Because we've got happy fun, local
happy, fun, local music time, yes.
Yes.
Two for Tuesday. Double shots.
Double shots all hour long.
That's right. And then, of course, Friday...
We
live
got a lot
sessions.
Of cool stuff Friday.
Live sessions.
Live sessions.
Live happy hour.
In person. On the road.
Yes.
In downtown Sandusky. So we're going to be broadcasting on the boardwalk right in downtown, right in front of the Sanlac Broadcasting Company World Headquarters in Sandusky. I think they're going to be flying us in via private jet. It's going to be really cool.
Sandusky is like, we're in a prop plane, a crop duster. Basically. Hang on, I've lost some people. Hang on.
Right. And the Cessna just crash lands into downtown. But yeah, we're going to be out there from, starting at 3, happy hour as you come to expect on Solid State Radio. And who knows, maybe I'm going to keep bugging Eddie until he puts the first 2 hours of the show somewhere else.
Yeah.
And then 5:30, we go live on WMIC AM 660 and 95.3
live,
FM.
Baby, live.
On the FM from 5:30 to 7. So you on Solid State Radio are getting a bonus hour of happy hour that day. 4 hours of this. Can you imagine? Adam's scared.
I am. The hairs are standing up on my arms. It's great.
As well they should be. And then after that, 7 o'clock rolls around. Icarus Fell. They're coming into, not studio, but.
No. I kept when I was doing extra sessions. When I have been doing extra sessions, I was like, yeah, live in studio. But they're not in studio. They're going to be live on the show. And, yeah, they love Solid State Radio. We love them. This is going to be a good time.
I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a blast. We're going to get to go out in person and mingle with the people. I'm going to try and get some prizes and things that we can give away. Maybe we can do another round or two of What the Hell Does Adam Know? All that fun stuff. Billion listeners involved on this list is trash. Who knows?
Right, as long as it's not some sort of a map question or, you know, geography.
What does Adam know about geography? You're going to find out the answer is not very much.
Right, exactly.
But we're going to be out there Friday afternoon from 3 to 8, happy hour from 3 to 7, sessions, a little bit of a delay here at Solid State Radio, so we can bring you Icarus Fell live in person in the middle of downtown Sandusky. It's going to be a blast. On that note, Sessions is up next, a full hour of local original music, all being well. Talk to you tomorrow afternoon at 3. See ya!